You are Locked On Lakers, your daily podcast on the Los Angeles Lakers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
All right, welcome everybody to Locked On Lakers. I am Harrison Fagan. That joyous other sound that you hear is the sound of not Anthony's voice, and it is because he is taking the day off today. He is, you know, he kind of ethered me on the last intro to the show that I wasn't on, so I'm not going to imply anything, you know, anything close to what he implied about me, but I will just say that he is a coward, and he skipped the show, and I will probably never forgive him. If you'd like to find our other shows, or continuing shows, or this show, but you've already found it, so good job, you can do so on iTunes, Megaphone, Panoply, TuneIn, Stitcher, Today's Fast Break, Spotify, and wherever else you're getting it or not getting it. If you're, you know, if you've had any problems finding our shows recently, it's because we switched providers from Audio Boom to Megaphone. And so, you know, if you've had any problems finding our show, or you have any friends that are having problems finding our show, let them know that they need to possibly resubscribe if they're not subscribed directly through iTunes, because they may not be able to listen to this. But again, that's more for people that have not already found the show. Anyway, today's show is sponsored by no one. Email LakersLockedOn@gmail.com if you'd like to advertise. We have salespeople that we will put you in contact with, and you can advertise directly to Lakers fans. It's great for local businesses. And so now that I kind of mentioned that, let's get right into it. Let's talk about the Lakers. So it's not going to be just me doing solo show today. I've made Gary Kester sit here and listen to this minute and a half intro as I read it off. And so, yeah, joining me today is my close personal friend and honorary Locked On Lakers, Alex Caruso, Gary Kester. He's not always called upon, but when our Lonzo Ball, Anthony Irwin, has an injury, he comes in and he is willing to be the calming presence. Was that? That was what Luke called him, right?
Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't compare Anthony to Lonzo Ball, but I mean, hey, to each their own.
Honestly, you know, like, I would never tell Anthony this, and he doesn't listen to the shows that he's not on, but he is like the Lonzo Ball of puns. And so that's probably not a good thing, but like, he has Lonzo's ball. He has Lonzo Ball's talent for making irritating jokes. Like, Lonzo Ball's basketball talent, like, Anthony is that level at making your ears bleed through puns.
I'll give him that. Lonzo dishes out assists, and Anthony dishes out terrible jokes.
Anthony dishes out people wishing they were deaf.
Yeah.
or illiterate, in the case of Twitter. And so, anyway, we've made fun of Anthony. Probably not enough, but we'll stop just for now. And I wanted to talk to you about the preseason, because Anthony and I have been talking about this nonstop to each other. And so I thought it would be kind of more fun to talk to somebody else whose opinion we haven't heard, and who's not going to bring up D'Angelo Russell every single time that we talk about Lonzo Ball, just to remind you that D'Angelo also used to be on the team. So I don't know, Gary, like, your preseason in general, when we were talking about this, you actually brought up an interesting question. Like, do we feel better or worse about the team after the preseason? So I will take your own question and throw it back at you first.
It's an interesting question because there's so many layers to it. Because
did you say that your own question was an interesting question?
Yeah. what's wrong with that?
I can
take some credit for that. Big baller brand, Harrison.
Oh, God, it's gotten to you, too.
But no, I mean, the thing with this preseason is there's a lot of ifs with it, because Lonzo Ball hasn't played for a large portion of the preseason. Brook Lopez missed a lot of time. So you saw, I mean, even Ingram missed the game. So, like, you didn't really see the full lineup intact at any point. You know, they were always missing at least one key piece.
I don't think I think literally we did not see it intact once, right?
Yeah, because when Lonzo played, Brook Lopez was out, and when Lopez came back, Lonzo was out. So
is Lonzo ducking Brook Lopez like he's De'Aaron Fox?
I mean, I don't know. I mean, he's just letting Alex Caruso, you know, the legend, take care of his light work, I think. So
I'm just trying to ask the important questions here, Gary.
No, but I mean, It's really tough to say because you're talking about two starters, right, that haven't gotten any time together in a game-like situation. But I honestly, if I had to say anything, I would say I feel a little bit worse about the team. Just based on maybe kind of certain things, I think certain guys that I thought would show more improvement just haven't yet. Especially Brandon Ingram. I thought Ingram would look a little bit better, and I liked what I saw out of him in the first game. He was very confident. He was shooting a lot of shots, but I just like to see the confidence that he had, because that was kind of different that we didn't really see throughout a good portion of his rookie season. He seemed very timid, at least the first half of the year, and he looked very confident that first game, and then kind of struggled to find his footing, next few games after that. And then this last game against the Clippers, B and C teams, he looked pretty good.
Really their D and G team.
Yeah. The defense hasn't looked great. I mean, they had moments, I guess, against the Kings, but the Kings are going to be really bad this year too. So I would say I feel a little bit worse. I think I felt almost optimistic having them around 34, 35 wins going in as preseason started. I mean, I'll stick with that and say they're going to be somewhere around that, but it wouldn't surprise me just playing in the Western Conference, there's so many good teams that, this team struggles a pretty good portion of the year.
Yeah, so I don't want to overreact to preseason, but I am a lot less optimistic about this team after watching them. And I know that we just watched them, like all of the caveats that you just threw in there. They didn't have their full lineup together. Lonzo didn't play a lot of the time. And a big part of their offense is built around how unique and talented he is. But that being said, I just am not optimistic. I was not 35 wins optimistic before the preseason, but the fact that basically their starting lineup, minus Lonzo, that is like a big caveat, but like really struggled to beat a really, like, probably not even a great Clippers team's like third string, like guys that might not even make their team or are going to be on their G League team, the Agua Caliente Clippers for most of the year, which is like, I just wanted to say that because again, like, the Clippers gonna Clipper. That is one of the worst team names I've ever heard in my entire life. That's like,
it's exotic. Racist. It's exotic.
Yeah. like a certain Washington team. But I was not that optimistic about them anyway. And then watching how badly they've struggled throughout the preseason, maybe it gets better. There was a lot of roster turnover. Maybe these guys start to gel a little bit as there's more chemistry and things like that. But I just can't help but feel a little bit more, even more down on this team than I was, because Ingram, he just doesn't look ready. He doesn't, like, that first quarter of the Lakers' first preseason game, he looked amazing. Everybody was making Kevin Durant jokes. Everybody was ready to anoint Brandon Ingram. All the work had paid off. He was good to go. And then all of a sudden, the rest of the preseason happened. Like, that game continued, and then the rest of the preseason continued. And he looked kind of more like Kevin Durant if, like, Kevin Durant had went his whole life without playing basketball and then was put on an NBA court was how I'd describe it more. But was, like, still just as confident. And so it made me less optimistic about him. And I still think, again, he's like 20 years old. I still think that there's a chance that he figures this out. But, like, here's the kind of territory that we're in. I thought Carter Rodriguez, at Carter Shade on Twitter, or at Carter _ Shade on Twitter, he's a Cavs fan. And he decided to troll the crap out of Lakers fans last week. And he posted Brandon Ingram and Anthony Bennett's per 36-minute player comps from their rookie year. And Ingram's looks a little better, but not that much better. And so, and
that's
Anthony
cold.
Bennett was, like, universally regarded as one of the worst rookies ever. And I'm just wondering if, because Ingram's, like, a good dude, and because he's a hard worker and all that, so all those things that Anthony Bennett wasn't, then maybe Ingram's getting a little bit more of a benefit of the doubt than he should. And I'm a little concerned about his game. I'm not really concerned about Lonzo, but that's mainly because we didn't see him. And so, you know, like, it's hard to be concerned about that. I don't think that this is going to be something that nags him throughout his career, but I just don't think. I think overall, if Ingram's not that good, the Lakers don't have that secondary creator. That's going to force Lonzo into doing things that he's not going to be able to do. I guess maybe you hope Kuzma is that guy, but then at that point, you're counting on the 27th overall pick to be your team's second wing creator, and that does not sound like a recipe to 35 wins to me. And I don't know if that this is just me being a cynic, but it, like, am I crazy? I don't know.
It's really interesting to be, because like I'm with you where I'm more optimistic about Lonzo at the moment, because I mentioned this in the Brandon Ingram article that I wrote recently.
Yes, shameless plug. I'm going to cut you off and somebody's going to yell at me for this, but you're not going to plug yourself, so I'm going to say, like, go to Lakers Outsiders and read Gary's article on Brandon Ingram. It was a very nuanced take on his struggles. Go ahead.
Yeah, but the thing with Lonzo is there's a certain skill that, like an elite skill that looks to be within reasonable reach for him, right? Like, he can be an elite passer and creator in this league, a guy that sets up other players. With Ingram, it's like, you think, you know, he kind of has the potential to be an elite scorer, but he hasn't been anywhere close to that yet. So like, an elite skill for him to have is so far out of reach right now that it's really easy to be more optimistic about Lonzo, because there's something that we know for sure he can be really good at. And with Ingram, you know, he's got all these physical tools and all this, and he's super young, that he could be really good, but we're still waiting on that. But I also want to say, like, didn't we learn this last year? Like, everybody labeled D'Angelo Russell as a guy that, you know, this, he could have a breakout season. It's like, the kid's still 20 years old. Like, can we stop putting these great expectations on these kids produce
this
right
away? Groundhog Day. We do this to every Lakers young player. We're going to tell them that they suck their first year, and then we're going to talk about how much better they look like as a breakout candidate for their second year, and then we are going to like just destroy them when they don't live up to these unrealistic expectations, and then we are going to trade them to get rid of another bad contract. That is the Lakers' way of
and then you can't talk about the trade at all, though.
Oh yeah, my bad. Sorry, I guess I am Anthony today.
I had probably triggered some people bringing up D'Angelo's name, but I mean, it's the same situation. Like, Ingram just turned 20 last month. Like, he's 11 months away from even turning 21. I mean, like, we've just got to stop putting expectations. And I mean, part of it stemmed from Magic Johnson, obviously, saying that he would be disappointed if Ingram didn't lead the team in scoring this year because of all the hard work that he's put in over the summer. And he'd be disappointed if, you know, he wasn't a 20-point scorer. 15 to 20 points, I think, is what he changed it to. But and a lot of people are going to run with that. And, you know, it's unfortunate because these guys are so young. Like, people look at guys like Kevin Durant and LeBron James, like guys that just – they hit the ground running in the NBA. They were good right from the start. Yeah. But those guys, you know, they're outliers. They're not the norm. You know, so you've got to stop expecting players to be that type of guy and kind of bring yourself down. And if they get to that, that's great. But we shouldn't, like, you can hope for that, but we just got to stop expecting that sort of thing.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like this shouldn't have to be said that Brandon Ingram is not Kevin Durant yet, but unfortunately we're kind of at that point where it does have to be said.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, a lot of guys don't play well from the start. I mean, there's a number of guys, and I don't mean to compare Brandon Ingram to any of these guys, but guys like Kawhi Leonard and Giannis Antetokounmpo and Dirk Nowitzki, like, those guys weren't good NBA players as rookies. Or even Giannis was, it took him a couple years to get going, and then he just really sprouted. But yeah, just, you got to stop expecting so much out of young players.
Steph Curry was obviously better than Ingram during his rookie year, but Steph Curry was good, but he wasn't Steph Curry.
Well, and he went to college. He went to college for a few years. So like,
he was in school for like 3 or 4 years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, it's crazy how young Ingram is. And there's going to be, I think, a certain point where
Ingram cannot legally buy a drink.
Yeah. Not for another 11 months.
Yeah.
I mean, Anthony somewhere is probably like crying for Brandon Ingram. He probably feels awful for him.
Yeah, that's probably why he's so down on him. He's like, he can't even get a drink. What's the supposed to deal?
But no, I mean, I have personally, like, my rule with young players is you've got to give them at least like 3 years. Because I feel like a lot of guys, I mean, Anthony Davis was good as a rookie, but I think that third year is when he really took a big leap as like becoming an elite player in this league. So, I mean, you just got to give these guys time. And I get there's going to be a certain point where it's, you know, we've got to stop saying, well, Ingram's young. That point's going to come, but we haven't gotten there yet. The kid's 20. Like,
yeah,
think
exactly.
About,
like,
where we were as 20-year-olds.
If Ingram looks like this after this season and, like, starting next preseason, that's when I'll say it's time to worry. It's time to worry at that
point. Yeah. The key as far as expectations with Ingram, you just want him to be a noticeably better player in game 82 than he is in game one.
Yes.
Like that's the thing. That's like the you just want him to keep getting, and I hate that everybody looks at his scoring as the metric as far as determining his development. Right. Like
everybody's sweet Magic Johnson.
No, but I mean, that's what everybody's looking at with Ingram is like, he's got to average this amount of points. You know, it's like, you know, with his physical tools, how about, you know, making an impact on defense, you know, creating a couple extra steals or improving his on ball defense, getting in passing lanes, you know, things like that. Like Ingram has the skill set, you know, it's still a very raw skill set, but he's shown flashes of, you know, things here and there that he can impact the game in a number of different ways that we shouldn't just use scoring as the measure of, is he better or not?
What do you most want to see him improve other than the scoring?
Honestly, it's defense, because when you look at his frame, he's 6'9", so, and he's so long. He's 6'9", and he's so long that, like, you know, he should be able to guard multiple positions. And, you know, part of it's going to come with, we knew coming in that it was going to take a few years for him to improve his frame, right? To add strength and get stronger and to be able to endure the rigors of an NBA season, you know, and going up against bigger, stronger players. So for him, you know, I want him to kind of understand to use his length a little bit better defensively and maybe on the glass as well, and just improve more so on that. Because I think the scoring is going to come. I think players naturally work on that enough. Like, that's the first thing that they always work on. And so for him, the Lakers need defenders in the worst way. Like, that's what the team's main issue is defense.
Yeah.
We've seen that year after year. So starting to see some of those young guys take steps in the right direction defensively, because we haven't seen it a ton with the other young guys yet, you know, with Jordan Clarkson, with Julius Randle. Randle's shown some signs here and there, but yeah, I want to see him improve defensively.
Yeah, I think that's fair. And I don't know how much he can improve defensively or how easy that will be to judge during his second season on a bad Lakers defensive team. But I think that if you're starting to see him get more deflections, if you're starting to see more stuff like that, then I think that's when you can start to have confidence that he's going to improve and he's not going to be like a bust. And I don't say that because I think he is going to be a bust, but I think, you know, like, if we're a year from now and this is still how he looks, then it's time to start worrying about that. But for now, I think it's fine to just be kind of like cautiously concerned, I guess is how I would frame it.
Yeah. You just want to see gradual improvement. You know, you want to see gradual development throughout the course of the season.
Yeah, exactly. And so, okay, so let's get into let's shift gears from Ingram, because I feel like we're just depressing everybody. And let's go. I got three questions, and then we're going to go to a couple of viewer questions. So let's try and roll through these. I want you to guess what you think the starting lineup will be in game three. Let's say game three, because that's when Kentavious Caldwell-Pope comes back from his suspension.
Yeah, I think it's going to be,
like,
I don't know.
I need to guess who's going to start for him during the first two games. Like, I don't really care. Like,
yeah, it's going to be Corey Brewer, right?
Yeah, obviously. Or Alex Caruso.
Or Thomas Bryant shooting guard.
Yeah, they need another Bryant at shooting guard.
Got to retire that last name.
Those Laker fans that were pissed about the last name thing are going to lose it if they start him at shooting guard.
So is it going to be who I think will start or who I would start?
If those two are two different answers, then give me both.
All right. Who I think is going to start, I think it's going to be Lonzo, Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, Brandon Ingram, Julius Randle, and Brooke Lopez. Now, who I would start, and maybe this is just, maybe I'm getting ahead of myself with old Kyle Kuzma here, but I would start Lonzo, KCP, Ingram, Kuzma, and Brooke Lopez. I don't know what you're offering much.
I'm actually with you on that lineup.
Yeah, I think with Lonzo, you need to be able to allow him to space the floor, because that's what he had at UCLA. He had guys that could get up and down the court, and he had big guys that could shoot and allow more floor spacing. And I think with Kuzma, the way he shot the ball ever since he became a Laker, his shooting with Ingram, his shooting hasn't been great, but I still think he's at least a moderate threat to shoot. But you also have Lopez out there and KCP.
Threat to shoot, just not necessarily to make.
Roy Williams always says, I don't like shooters, I like makers. So
Ingram becomes a maker. There's your UNC reference of the day.
That's right. But no, that's what I would go with. I mean, just kind of experiment a little bit, try and go with some spacing and see what that does, what that creates for you offensively. Maybe that makes things easier for Julius Randle, guy that likes to, you know, put the ball on the floor and go to the basket. It frees up a lot of space for Brooke Lopez on the perimeter or maybe down inside. So like it creates a lot of opportunities, I think, offensively for your team there.
Yeah. Yeah, I that's why I'm with you on starting Kuzma at the four instead of like Nance or Randle, although I think that that does like kind of mess with your bench a little bit. But I just don't anticipate that Kuzma is going to be the difference between the Lakers winning bench minutes against other teams' benches and them not. You know, that's like a lot to put on a rookie.
I don't know, man. I mean, Kuzma's already the best player in the league. Like, he's a front runner for MVP, isn't he?
I think as of right now, he is. We're going to have to, like, it's early, but I think as of right now, it's possible that he is. And, you know, like, he's arguably the best basketball player that I've ever seen. So, it's, you know, he's up there. I'm with you on the starter stuff. I also don't think that it really matters that much what they do to start the year. I just think, like, I'm more curious to see how things evolve as they move on and how Luke kind of adjusts to figuring out what works and what doesn't, because that's been, I think, a concern of a lot of people is as far as, like, his rotations go and things like that. How quickly is he adjusting to when things work and when they don't?
Yeah, definitely. And that was, I mean, that was the thing last year was the lineups were just
the
weird.
Bench lineup was amazing. And then the other things that he did to keep that bench lineup together were horrible.
Yeah. Yeah. Just, I don't know.
So like C plus.
And
he found,
I think,
one really good thing and tried to stick with it. He found his death lineup and tried to stick with it.
I don't know if it was like a death lineup or like just a kick in the shin lineup or.
Yeah, well, it was the baby death lineup. Yeah, kick in the shin lineup. I think you and I decided on that on a podcast early last year. It was kick you in the shins repeatedly lineup. It was like very unpleasant to play against.
Yeah, but you won't die. You won't die from it.
You won't die, but it's going to hurt. And so, okay, let's get next question. Who is someone that you think is going to surprise people this year?
I can't say Kyle Kuzma because I think everybody's expectations are like through the roof on him.
Is officially worshipping him now. So
yeah. You can't say Kuzma. Do you know why he wears number zero?
Because he's a fan of Nick Young, or because there are zero players better than him.
Oh, there you go. You got
yes.
it right.
Well, maybe both.
I mean, it might be.
Yeah. But so who's your actual surprise?
This is going to feel weird to say this, but I'm actually going to say Luol Deng. I feel like,
oh, that is a bold pick.
I feel like last year, I mean, don't get me wrong. I don't think Deng has a lot left in the tank, but I think he's still got a little bit. And typically guys in the second year of a situation or second year of a system with a certain head coach or whatever, they're usually just better. And I feel like, I mean, he had most of the last year off. So I feel like this is about as fresh as he's going to be with the mileage that he has on his body. But I think, I mean, I still think he's got a little bit left in the tank and, you know, he's going to get minutes probably backing up Brandon Ingram, but I still think he's going to be better than people will believe.
Dang, man. That was a bold pick. Did you get it?
Yeah, no, I thought Anthony popped in real quick, but
yeah,
whatever.
Sorry. He's actually been hiding here the whole time. my surprise, I'm going to go with actually like I'm going to go with Alex Caruso. I'm going to go with Big Balder Brand. And because I think he showed me during the preseason, we talked a little bit about that. I really just like the way that he makes outlet passes and the way that he plays like, you know, like a knockoff like Lonzo Ball a little bit. Like he's not anywhere near as good as Lonzo Ball, and he's probably never going to be, but just that he plays a similar style, I kind of like that for the bench more than I like what Ennis brings, and I think he's going to surprise people and actually end up getting brought onto the full-time roster.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think I was more impressed with him in the preseason than I was with Ennis. I think
Ennis did have the disadvantage of going against starters. I do want to be fair, but I just thought Caruso showed me a lot more.
And Ennis will have his games where he shoots the ball really well from three, and that makes a difference. But, you know, neither of them are very good defensively, but I feel like Caruso is a better guy that you can kind of involve in a scheme than Ennis. Ennis is just if you really watch him closely on defense, I just feel like he gets lost a lot. And I think with Caruso, the awareness is a little bit better, even though he really, you know, he's not going to be able to stay in front of the elite point guards in the NBA. But of course, coming off the bench, he probably wouldn't be guarding them a whole lot. But yeah, no, I like Caruso more than I like Ennis, definitely.
Yeah. So who is going to – who do you think is going to be, like, the biggest disappointment relative to expectations? Like, I don't know. I don't want to say, like, Ennis or something just because I feel like nobody expects anything from him. Like, who is going to – that people – who do you think is not going to live up to whatever expectations people have for them?
I feel like it's going to be Larry Nance Jr. And I feel weird saying it about the kind of
Gary
probably
H.
the
Larry.
The third, I mean, he's a Mountain West rival. He went to Wyoming, and I'm a Boise State student. But anyways,
what the heck is a Boise State?
Never mind. Anyways, no, I'm just not sure what Larry does consistently that impacts the game. You know, I mean, he has his moments, I think, defensively and on the glass, and he has the highlight dunks and stuff like that. But he just looks like a player that really lacks confidence. You know, there's a lot of opportunities. Like, he's a capable mid-range shooter. I mean, we've seen him even stretch it out to the three-point line occasionally. But he's a guy that he catches it, and he has opportunities for wide-open looks, and he wants to get rid of the ball. Like, he just doesn't look like a confident player out there. And I think with the emergence of Kuzma, and I think Kuzma is going to get some minutes at the three, and Randall will get minutes at the five, and so will Nance. But I don't know. I just feel like with the way Nance has played, I just don't think he's been consistent enough. And I could see his minutes kind of really dwindling down a little bit as the season goes along. If Kuzma continues to play the way he does, and if Randall gets, you know, shows improvement and so on and so forth. And that's such a tough position for them because they're so crowded in the front court as it is.
So there are going to be a lot of people that get very mad at me for this. But my disappointment is actually a guy that you mentioned, and it's Kyle Kuzma. Just because I don't think
he's
going to
be
a disappointment overall. I don't think he's going. I think he's going to be a very good player. I really like what I've seen from him. I think he's going to show some things this year. I think that expectations for him have gotten so completely far out of control that I just don't think that among, like, the larger fan base, there's any possible way he can live up to them. Teams right now, and it's the preseason, and they don't, like, know who this guy is yet. I think that when teams start to figure out, like, who he is, they get tape on him. I don't think that there's any, the expectations right now, I feel like, are astronomical because he's been such an awesome part of the preseason, and he's so blown expectations out of the water so far that I think that those expectations have now caught up to him and, like, just, like, they're lapping him now in this race. And so I think he's going to disappoint a little bit just because he's not going to be as good as people probably shouldn't expect him to be, but seem to, if that makes sense.
So by disappointment, are you saying, like, he's going to finish second in MVP voting?
Yeah, I think, like, second or third, most likely.
Oh, third? You think he's going to fall that far?
He might fall all the way to third. And, no, like, I hope I'm wrong. He's been a fun story. Like, he's made watching these preseason games more enjoyable. But I think that when – and, like, yeah, I understand that people are going to be mad at me for this one, but somebody had to piss you guys off, and Anthony wasn't here, so.
No, I agree with you, though. I think the expectations have really been a little over the top. I mean, a lot of people are considering him. Like, we've seen people already say, like, oh, he already is what we wanted Ingram to be, and so on and so forth. And it's like, yeah, I mean, he's been really good, and
we've seen noted NBA insider Richard Sherman say that.
Yeah. But no, I mean, it's the expectations are kind of getting out of hand a little bit. And I think the thing with Kuzma, and he's so much fun, and you know, I enjoy watching him play, and he's played really, really well, so you got to give him a lot of credit. But I think his shooting, he shot the ball so well that it's overshadowed his shot selection a little bit. Like, there's a lot of times that he doesn't
take good
shots. Yeah,
even Luke was getting
on
him a little bit for that.
Yeah, like, and when you make shots, it doesn't really get talked about, you know. So, but his shot selection, I think, is going to lead him to have nights where, you know, he's 2 for 11 or, you know, 3 for 13, you know, like games like that. And people will be disappointed. And then they'll say, oh, you know, maybe we, you know, got ahead of ourselves or whatever. And I think that's what's going to happen here. Like, he's a rookie. He's an older rookie, but he's still a rookie. Like, he's going to have his ups and downs. Like, pretty
much
there's
going to be like a 10 game stretch where he averages 5 points and people freak out and call him a bust.
Yeah. I mean, that's standard, right?
Yeah. I think, well, it's a Lakers rookie. So that's what we do. We just destroy them.
They have to be a bust at a certain point,
yes.
At least once.
If we don't call a Lakers rookie a bust, did they really play that season? No, because Randall was the last one to not have it happen to him. So, okay, let's get into some viewer questions really quick. So you guys can always submit questions. You're almost guaranteed if you submit them via iTunes review, 5-star review, leave us a question, you're guaranteed to get that question answered. I threw this out to Twitter today last minute because I wanted to have a couple more things to talk about with Gary, and I'm just not that creative and kind of lazy. So Brian McPherson at BMAC asks, has Bogut essentially made the team? I think yes. I mean, at this point, they made the roster cuts. Barring catastrophic injury, I don't see. I mean, maybe they cut him for Caruso at some point.
Yeah, I mean, if you're a bubble player and you don't play in the preseason, I mean, to me, like, and he's a veteran, and like, there's a reason they brought him in. I think it's pretty telling that he's going to be on the roster.
I agree. So then we got Deontay Rose at dsmooth210 says, do you see Brooke finishing the season with the Lakers or being used as trade bait at the deadline? And I don't think they're going to use him as trade bait because they want that cap space.
I could see them just seeing what's out there on the trade market. Like, I think they'll entertain the idea of it, but I think he's going to end the season with the Lakers. Cause I think he's, if they miss out on the free agents that they want to go after, like the LeBron James or Paul George, DeMarcus Cousins, whoever, like, Brooke is a decent backup plan. If you can get another like solid player with him, while your young guys continue to improve. But, I think he's kind of plan B. He's part of plan B, at least in their free agency next summer. So I think he'll finish the year.
And I think you actually just kind of answered this question that we had from Joe PT at Joseph Tatool, I think is how you pronounce that, said, what are some good ideas for trades that would benefit the team? Do you have any other ideas for trades that you would like to see made that you would think that would help the Lakers?
No, I mean, at this point,
I just think the roster's the roster.
Yeah, I mean, the only thing I think that they're going to really entertain for trades, I mean, maybe you can... I don't know. Maybe you can trade a guy like Corey Brewer to maybe a certain team likes him and they'll give up like a protected second rounder or something like that. Like, I don't think there's really any trades out there of substance without giving up one of the key young players. Cause I just have a hard time viewing them unless Luol Deng just plays really, really well or Jordan Clarkson plays really, really well. It's going to be tough to move those contracts. And I think those are the deals they're going to look at. Clarkson is obviously more movable because he's a younger player and his contract isn't as bad. But I think those are the type of deals they're going to look at. And I just think there's not a lot of teams out there that can absorb salary. So it's going to be really tough for them to make that.
Yeah. And then we kind of, I think we answered at @AFA_brain, AFA, the longtime friend of the show, about do we think Kuzma's going to get meaningful minutes and who would it be ahead of in the rotation? I feel like we kind of answered that. Let's see what other question. Okay, so we got one more question. It's from John Reddy at John T. Reddy. Gary, what kind of headphones do you use?
I don't even know. That's a good question.
You lost them. You couldn't. This is probably why you couldn't find them. You don't even know what type of headphones you're using.
Yeah, I'm just using some Sony headphones right now.
Okay, well, that's actually, so am I. I'm using the Sony earbud that came with my PS4. So I know all of you needed to know that. I am. I'm actually recording on my laptop from my other job, and so that's your behind the show for today, Gary. Where are you recording from?
My house in Boise.
So your mom's basement. Got it. All right.
Well, yeah, I'm a blogger.
Yeah, true. That'll do it for today's episode of Locked On Lakers. Gary, thank you so much for coming on. People, you can follow him on Twitter at Gary Kester. Really easy to find. Possibly one of the greatest basketball playing bloggers of all time. And Gary, do you have anything else that you'd like to plug while you're on the show?
No, I mean, I just, that Ingram article I wrote, you know, if you're curious, I had a few people kind of freak out at the title, which, you know, scheduled tweet, but, no, I mean, if you want to read that, it's my pinned tweet on my Twitter. So you can check that out, or you can just find it on LakersOutsiders.com.
Yeah, and you guys should all be checking out Lakers Outsiders. They're doing really good stuff. They're going to have a lot more fun stuff coming this season. Go ahead and support them. You can find all of my work, obviously, at Lakers Nation. You can, I don't know why you'd want to find Anthony's work outside of this podcast, so I won't give him a plug. As always, you can find our entire show on iTunes, Megaphone, Panoply, TuneIn, Stitcher, Today's Fast Break, Spotify, and wherever else you're getting it or not getting it. And again, like the subscription thing, we're sorry that was kind of weird, but hopefully you're all getting these episodes now. And again, so that'll do it for today's episode of Locked On Lakers. I am going to try and have another guest for you tomorrow and save you from Anthony for another day, but we'll see how that goes. And I will talk to all of you guys later.